Shall we pray? Our Father, we receive this morning insight, wisdom in your word. Thank you for accuracy of explanation. We receive accuracy of reception. Let every heart be united in the faith, the knowledge of your Son Jesus. As we all behold him, Jesus your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning we will be looking at something a bit practical, or more practical, about the Christian walk. I call it learning the faith. You know, a good number of believers don't even know why they attend church. Because, and the reason why that happens a lot of times is because it's likely you have been going to church before you got saved. So you might not really understand why we go to church. So you just say, well, we just go to church to serve God, to meet with God, and quite a number of things. And sometimes the church services in some places, not all places, hasn't helped. I said that on Thursday, I think, or Wednesday. Now, when you see a church service packed with activities, so much activities, and then Bible study is sandwiched in the midst of it, it's dangerous. It takes your attention away from the most important aspect of Christian worship. Let me explain to you. Christianity is knowledge. You don't understand that. It's not serving the Lord. It's knowledge. And the moment that is compromised, your worship of God and your worship of the Father will be compromised. Christianity is knowledge. Knowledge is not part of Christianity. Christianity is knowledge. In John 17:3, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. Remember how John described Jesus in John 1:14. He says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld one out of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In John 1:18, he said, no man hath seen God at any time, except the Son of Man, who explained him. The Greek word there, explain, means, that's who declared him. It means to do an exegesis of God. No wonder he's called the Word of God. The statement, when you say the Word of God, it means the logic, the logos. John 1:1. Or say the explanation of God. So, knowledge is not just one of the aspects of Christianity. That is Christianity. And so, the moment in a church service, that aspect of study is compromised. You see, if you have been talking with believers of late, it has gone worse in some places. It used to be bad before, but I think it's gone worse. You can hardly get believers' attention on the Word of God for 30 minutes consistently. Because other things take our attention. People, it's not unfounded today for people to come to church and expect other things. And then they feel, when you study the Word of God too much, that is too much, they think. What about other aspects of the service? You ask them, like what? Like prayers. How can you pray when you don't know? What about singing? How can you sing when you don't know? Those are things, nice ones. Then you have other activities that becloud the service. Long announcements. Then you have special number. Testimonies. Those are still nice. Nice canality, but still nice. Then you now have comedy in the church. Then some people come and display their talent in the service. Some people come and talk about entrepreneurship in the same service. If you are lucky enough, some people come again and talk about Nigeria in the same service. So by the time all that is happening at once, your attention is taken away. So the time they ought to have trained you and schooled you to focus on the word has been used for other things. And that's why some churches make their sermons so short, very short, brief. Brief sermon. And that affects the Christian's comprehension of the faith. Hallelujah. You don't realize that. Have you experienced that? You're talking to Christians and they quickly get bored. Quickly. In fact, sometimes when you quote more than 2-3 scriptures, they are saying, just go straight to the point. Which point? Because his attention span has been compromised. And so that's why many have not learned the faith. Because the faith, first of all, you receive the faith when you get born again. Then you now learn the faith. Are you there? Come on, are you there? So let's see a couple of things, you know, that 2 Timothy 3:14-16. Now, Paul is writing to a pastor. You need to understand that we learn the faith. We do. Church services is like a school, or are like a school. 2 Timothy 3:14. Paul says, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou learnt them. It says, continue in the things you have learned. Now the word continue is the word meno. It means to abide somewhere. It's used for a place of dwelling. In other words, Paul is teaching Timothy consistently, which is missing for many believers. To be consistent. Not a consistent. Not a consistent. That is, you abide somewhere in the things that you have learned. Abide there. Now look at the word learn. The word learn is from the word mantano. Many of you know what that means already. M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. It's used for education. Mantano. It's not just things you have heard. You know, wow, that was a great service. You know, people like that say, how was the service? Man, the service was wow. The man blew my mind. So what did he say? Ha. God loves me. Is that how you summarize your school studies? No. He says, the things you have learned, and he uses the word mantano, which, if you observe the scripture, let me quote it for you. Matthew 9:13. Just write it down for your study. Matthew 9:13, Matthew 11:29, and Matthew 24:32. Matthew 9:13, Matthew 11:29, and Matthew 24:32. Then you can write this down as well. Mark 13:28. Yeah, I want us to open to this one. John 6:45. Someone said to learn. Good. So we said the word to learn there means to be educated. Educated. John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father, cometh unto me. So you get the word manthano from teaching. You don't get it from experience. It's from teaching. They are taught and then they have learned of the Father. You see it in John 7:15. Now let's go to some other scriptures. We're going to open this one together. Acts of the Apostles 23. Paul describes his experience. Acts of the Apostles 23. I'm going to read to you verse 27. Acts 23, verse 27. Okay, good. This man was taken of the Jews, and he had been killed of them, and then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. Now, so whenever you use the word manthano, the person understands. He has full awareness. Having understood. Now go to Romans 16:17. Romans 16:17. Because that's the only way you can detect what is not of the faith. I told you before, one of the attributes of Christian maturity is discernment. What did I call it? Discernment. The ability to know right from wrong, right from nearly right. That's Christian maturity. It's only a baby that puts everything in his mouth as food. Praise the Lord. So, Romans 16:17. Now, Paul is talking to the church here. And now, let's read that together. Romans 16:17. Let's go. Now, I'll wait for you, everybody. Come on, I believe you have a Bible. Let's go. Now, let's take it again. I want everyone to say it. Come on, let's go. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Notice that, contrary to the teaching. So we said, you don't have manthano without what? Teaching. Now he says, mark people, notice people who cause division. Sometimes, you know, you have in some places, they think those who are learned are the ones causing division. No. It's not those who are learned that are causing division. It's those who are saying things contrary to the word. So let's maintain the unity of the faith. Let's leave the areas where we disagree and hold on to the areas where we agree. That is stupid. There's nothing like that in the Bible. There's no area we ought to leave. The only areas Paul says, judge no man's servant, is in food. Herbs. Someone regrets Sunday, one regrets Saturday. One says, I can take beef. The other says, no, it's chicken. Then when you eat it, neither are you better. If you don't eat it, neither are you worse. So they judge no man's servant. Before his master, he rises or falls. But to the same church, he now says, mark them. Now you see, it's two different things. Mark them that think things contrary to how you have been taught, the things you have learned. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 4:6. We have learned not to exalt any man, 1 Corinthians 4:6, above that which is written. Then you can see 1 Corinthians 14:31 and 1 Corinthians 14:35. Let's take some other ones together. Galatians 3:2. Galatians 3:2. When I give you those references of scripture, it's for you to go back home and read them. You'll see the relevance shortly. Galatians 3:2. This would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So what you have learned, did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? What you have been taught. Ephesians 4:20. We have not so learned Christ. We have not so learned Christ. Pay attention. Educated. We are aware. We understand. We have not so learned Christ. Ephesians 4:20. Now look at Philippians 4. Very, very important text too. Philippians 4, verse 9. Let's take it together. Philippians 4, 9. Let's go. Let's go. Those things which you have learned and received and have heard and have seen in me do, the God of peace shall be with you. Are you there? He uses the same thing in verse 11 as well. But he says, the things you have learned. So the church was known for learning. Are you there? The churches, the services, were known for education. Because it's the same term used for education. To learn. So, if you are going to the services, what are you going to do? To learn. It's the same way when you go to for lectures. When you were in the university, if you are still there, you go to learn. That's what you go to. Colossians 1:7. This is a very important text to Colossians 1:7. Next one. Did you observe that virtually every letter of Paul carried the word learn? Did you observe it? Very good. Colossians 1:7. As you also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister. Now, historically, Paul never visited this church. So Epaphras was the minister whom he sent. But look how he picked out Epaphras' ministry. He says, you have learned of him. In other words, you have been educated. Because it's from that word mantano that you have the word disciple. You know, disciple is mathetes. When you learn, you are now called a disciple. M-A-T-H-E-T-S. You are called a disciple. So a disciple is not somebody who dresses one kind or goes to church. No. A disciple is known by what he is learning. A disciple is a student. Don't be a disciple. Is a student. Now, is he a student of experience? Talk to me now. A student of what? A student of the word. So many people get it wrong. The guy told me, he said, you know, I want to come to your church, but you see, the services are too long. I said, what do we do there? He said, well, it's teaching. I'm just thinking that it is said, this is what he told me, it is said by psychologists that the attention span of people is 45 minutes. I said, yes. So you expect me to preach for 45 minutes when we are not under persecution? A man, I got a video yesterday, but I've shown you one in service. The man, you know, the fastest growing church in the world is in China. It's not Nigeria. Nigeria just makes noise. And the man said he went to China and he had to talk to 22 preachers. 22, just 22 of them. And then he had to go to see them in an hotel. So those folks couldn't come up together so that the state security services would not, you know, get a hold of them. So they came in two by two as they got inside, and they sat on the bare floor, no air conditioners, no comfort. And they were pastors. And he asked them to all together, the number of the congregation under them, 20 million. 20 million, 22 folks, 20 million. And they sat on the bare floor. None of them had a private jet. 20 million. And they sat on the floor. He said, he taught for 3 days. He started in the morning, he finished at night. I showed him one video last year, 2 years ago. And he taught for 3 days. And then he said to them, what will happen if they get a hold of me teaching because it's outlawed in their country? He said, they will deport you. What about you? He said, well, 3 years in prison. He said, out of the 22, I think about 18 of them had used 3 years already. Because he observed that some didn't even have Bibles. And as he was quoting, they would quote. How did you know? He said, when we went to jail, they will pass scriptures to us by letters, and you memorize them before the prison warders get a hold of you. You memorize the scriptures. So at the end of the day, she knew the New Testament. And you are going to the same heaven with that kind of person. In 30 minutes, your bum bum is moving 4 times on the same thing. It's not funny. It's not funny. Are they not Christians? 22 people pastoring 20 million. And they sat on the floor. You see somebody, ordinary house fellowship pastor. Bless you. Shondai, glory, grace. No. We learn the faith. I told you, the most important thing in Christianity is not prayer. It's learning. It's not prayer. It's not miracles. People got miracles without knowing Him. It's not miracles. It's not singing worship. No. It's knowing Him. Hallelujah. Now go to 2 Timothy 3. You also see the word mantano in 1 Timothy 2:11 and 1 Timothy 5:4, but I'm not going there and 5:13. 5:4, 1 Timothy 2:11, 1 Timothy 5:4 and 1 Timothy 5:13. Now go to 2 Timothy 3:7. Hallelujah. That's why you find somebody in the ministry who has stopped studying. What are you doing in the ministry? If you have stopped studying and stopped learning, what are you doing in the ministry? You should be you should be retired by now. Or fired. 2 Timothy 3:7. This is Paul. Ever learning. Interesting. Are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. Why was this so? We're going to see that. Ever learning. In Titus 3:14, you see the same thing quickly. Hebrews 5:8 talks about Jesus who learned obedience. The Revelation 14 verse 3. I'll take it again. Titus 3:14. And Hebrews 5:8, Jesus. And Revelation 14:3. So we said, the person who is now called a disciple will be the one disciple is matter is one who has gained knowledge. So a disciple will now be someone who has gained knowledge. So you know a disciple by knowledge. A disciple is not known by dressing. A disciple is not known by just speech. A disciple is known by knowledge. Masterpiece. Make disciples of every nation. A disciple is known by knowledge, and every believer ought to be a disciple. Pay attention now. I said it before. Brother Hagin, Kennedy Hagin, once said that if the local churches were doing their jobs, there'll be no reason for Bible schools. Every church ought to be a Bible school. If you're a pastor and your members have to go for a Bible school, it means you are doing a very bad job. There's nobody I pastor that requires a Bible school. None. Except he wants to go and learn things like Christian Science, African Traditional Religion. Let me mention the name now. Except he wants to do that. Hallelujah. There's no way. The church should be where you gain knowledge. Every service, every meeting of the service, of the church, you come and you learn. So we're going to talk about that later. Your attitude is very important. Don't use church services to mark attendance so that they will know brother, so and so, why are you at home? You have not gone to church? I will go soon. Pay attention, though. The guy is just leaving. I'm leaving. Okay, bye-bye. He didn't say, where's your Bible? Where's your writing material? So I just go. I think I should meet the praise worship. Pastor should have started preaching the word now. I'll just buzz in and breeze in and breeze out like thunder. You're not a serious person. No, you're not. When you go to church, you are going for lectures. That's what you're going to do. It's not the time of the week where you just go and thank the Lord for the past week, so that there will be a good coming week. Lord, we thank you for last week. We thank you for last week. We slept and we woke up. We woke up, then we slept again. We thank you where we ate, it digested. We give you praise. What are you doing with yourself? Hallelujah. Now, go back to 2 Timothy 3. Continue. Why did he say continue? He didn't say continue salvation in verse 14. No, he's already saved. 2 Timothy 3. The word there, like I said, is the word meno. Let me just explain one verse of scripture to you, because I explained to someone, I'm not sure whether I've done it before in the service, I want to do it again. Go to Colossians 1. Put your hands to 2 Timothy 3. I go to Colossians 1. I'm going to read verse 23. I want to do a short Bible test. Because I did the test for someone, so I want to do it for you. To check your attention span. And I can call anybody to answer. It's not when I'm trying to call someone, you'll be opening your Bible like you're really studying. If you like, I will call you. Or if you are looking at me like I won't call you because you are looking at me, it will work. Look at Colossians 1. I'm going to read verse 22 to you. Let me start from verse 21. And you, who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now are he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and unreprovable in his sight. Now, verse 23 now says, if you continue in the faith, as though you only will be irreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith. That's very odd. So I'm going to give you a test to observe. Be very careful. I'm going to ask you to start reading from verse 9. To 23. Then tell me what that verse 23 means. I'll give you 5 minutes. Enough time to get it right. Pay attention. Remove the verses and read it together. Pay attention to the subject matter of each sentence. Okay, let me help you with one thing first. Just one second. So that you won't say I didn't say this one. The word if in the original language can mean three things. It can mean since. It can mean so that. And it can also mean if, like conditional statement. So you will choose any of the three as you read. So that, since, or just the regular English if. You know when you say, if God be for us, it's not a conditional statement. Right? If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, it's not a conditional statement. It's a statement of fact. Is that clear? So the word if doesn't necessarily have to be a conditional statement. Does it make sense to you? Okay, so read it. Just like if you confess your sins, it's not like a conditional statement. Right. Depends on what subject matter is. So go ahead and just read it very well from verse 9 to verse 23. And notice something. It's so simple. You see, if you pay attention. One more minute. What have you observed? What do 10 seconds do? What have you observed? What did you observe? You want to say something?
In verse 9, Paul prayed for the church, for this cause, and then continued in 10, 11, that they be strengthened. And then, you know, in 12, he talks about who is going to do the work, the Father himself.
What the Father has done.
What the Father has actually done.
Yeah.
And then,
which is what he said till what?
To what he said till 22.
Very fine. So, verse 12b, right? Till 22 is what you will know. Right? 23 will be the answer to what? Does it make sense? That's it. That's the answer. Okay, I'll give you for this course free of charge.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. It's coming out next week, so you get it. Because the answer to the prayer is that so that you continue, because there was obviously, look at the next, what he said. Is it clear now? Was it clear? So 23, it will be the answer of the prayer, not the basis for you being blameless and irreprovable. Do you understand? Okay. Sometimes just to read, look at it. Continue to faith, grounded and settled. So the prayer will be, the result of the prayer is that you will abide, you'll be grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which are preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Does it make sense? Alright. You can see, that could have only been achieved. I believe that many of you got the same answer. Amen. Hallelujah, Shondai. But you know, that can only be seen if you pay attention. If you don't rush. The moment your attention is taken away, you miss the crucial details. That's what I wanted to achieve this morning. Because you find some people have actually argued against the believer's perfect stand before the Father with that verse. You know why? Because they thought that 23 was the condition for 22. Whereas 23 will be the result of the prayer of from verse 9 to 12a. Is that very clear? I told the guy to come. Notice who is the only actor from 12b till 22. He said, God, the Father, Jesus. I said, exactly. That you don't play any part till 23. How can 22 now be based on 23? 22 will be the result of the prayer of 9. You will say, oh, now I can see. You will have seen it earlier. If all you did was just pay attention. So, when you are learning, you don't, as a person, when I'm studying scriptures, in fact, of late, I even discovered I'm now getting distracted. I just threw away my phone. You need to pay attention. You can't be hearing God's word and say, and someone say, where you place, I don't know where I'm forward this morning. That's the end point, but let me just say it. He said, it's going into my spirit. Who is deceiving you? That you just play it and you slip off. Is that how you learned your school books? You took your book and slept off and said, it's going into my spirit. It's not just spirit. It's your glorified body. You must pay attention. It's called matano. You are a matatist. You are learning. You don't learn unconsciously. Look at Acts 14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't learn unconsciously. You learn consciously. Acts 14. Verse 22. This was Paul and Barnabas confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. The same statement. Continue in the faith. You know, some denominations do confirmation. As a folk has done one before, where they wear wedding gown, they take communion, and then somebody will be doing something in their head. It's just, you can see how that practice has lasted for years. The Catholic Church built confessing stones a lot on James 5. Confess your fault one to another. It is a confess your fault to the priest, one to another. And the word there is trespass. Paptoma, that is, whatever I've done to you, I will tell you I have done it. It's not I will tell somebody what I've done to you. But you can see, when people misinterpret scriptures, it can become a practice for centuries. The same thing with the word confirmation. Let's look at the word confirmation here. The word confirmation is the Greek word, pay attention, epistereizo, E-P-I-S-T-E-R-A-R-I-Z-O. E-P-I-S-T-E-R-I-Z-O. They are already believers. So, what was the confirmation for? Exhorting them. So, the confirming is via preaching. Exhorting them to continue in the faith. Continue in the faith is knowledge. That we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Look at verse 21. They preached the gospel to that city and taught many. That's another city. So it was via teaching. Look at Acts 15, verse 32. Let's read that one together. Acts 15, 32. Let's go. Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. That is, they strengthened them. Look at verse 41. And they went through Syria and Sicilia, confirming the churches. Verse 41. Acts 18:23. And after he had spent some time, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order strengthening all the disciples. So how is that confirmation done? By teaching. So the confirming, the strengthening is why they will continue. It is not to make them saved more. It's not to strengthen their salvation. It is to what? Add knowledge. To teach them. They are already believers. So you can see the consistency, the essence of learning. When you don't learn, you will be moved. Ephesians 4:4 says, tossed to and fro by every wind of teaching. You will be moved. By every wind of teaching. So, the first thing we need to realize is that learning requires your attention. And there is no time you don't need to learn. Now, pay attention. Do you know that the letter Paul wrote was to a pastor? In fact, a pastor of pastors. So, there's no time you ought to stop learning. I say it oftentimes. That giving a tenor to a Bible school has been the problem of many preachers. They think they have graduated. Our own ministerial academy, there is no graduation date. It is till Jesus comes. They know. You continue. Hallelujah. You continue to learn. Don't say, I know after 6 weeks, after 1 year. You are confused. You continue to learn. So two things, notice. One, you must learn to read. If you want to learn the faith, you must learn to read. So they read. Very good. You must also learn to listen. Jesus was known to read. He grew in wisdom. Luke 2. It's interesting that in those days they had no printing press. Yet people mastered the scriptures. So you just have access to what was in the synagogue most of the time. And if people were going to learn from the Holy Scriptures, they had to hand copy. And they mastered the verses of the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament did not have verses. Pardon me. The only book of the Old Testament that had verses was Psalms. Sorry, not verses. That had chapters was Psalms. And the reason was, it's not that it was chapterized. It's the fact that there were 150 of them. So the second Psalm. That's why it's called like that. But every other book of the Old Testament did not have chapters and verses. You just hear, have you not read in your law? You are the one that will find out. None of Paul's letters has chapters and verses. How many of you write letters to go and put chapter and verse? Chapter 1, this is my letter to you, chapter 1. No. And that's a major reason why there's an error in many places today. Because people do not read the whole thing. Learn to read. Do you know that what we did now is just read and pay attention when you are reading? Not that I say, hey, oh my guy, how are you? Verse 4. Verse 5. You know, your attention is divided. You are in service, you are hearing God's word, and you are typing on Facebook. I'm having a great time in service. The pastor is still talking. I'm having a great time in the service. It's a wonderful time. Well, you know, you have missed out many things you have said. So you need to learn to read. So look at Matthew 12, Jesus. Luke 2. Sorry. Luke 2, as a child. I'm going to read to you verse 46. It came to pass after 3 days, Jesus was 12 years old, historically. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished in his understanding and answers. So when they came to him, his parents, and he was 12 years old, he was not in children's church, and he was playing bunny. Okay? You know, it's a children's church, man. You guys are youth, man. 12 years old. Come on, okay, come on, Jesus. No, that's a youth church, man. Happening on the youth, you're upon the energy, man. David was 17. Historically, it is said that Timothy took over Ephesus at the age of 17 to 19. You are doing, I asked the pastor one time, I said, sir, when you were 17, was that what you were doing? He said, no. So you don't expect anybody to be serious with God. You know, you are young folks now, you have the bonnet, tell me the part of the Bible written to young people. Thou must not know the word. Again, your attention span is compromised. The same people that are watching a football game, even though it's Chelsea, I've left Chelsea alone, it's Barcelona now, for 90 minutes. So they say they're going to reduce to 60 minutes now. 90 minutes. And now come to church. 30 minutes. Do you know that immediately they start preaching, people just become active. That they have compromised your attention. The energy comes from nowhere. It is a spiritual defect. Luke 24. He now told them, when they were looking for him, he now said, look, how is it, verse 49, that you sought me? Was it not that I must be about my father's business? Listen carefully. I know that people have tutored it to business like commerce. No, the word business there means need. My father needs me to learn. That's what he meant. Not my father's business. He was not selling and buying there. He was learning. Just like Acts 6. Whom will be appointed over this business? It's the same word. Over this need. There was a need. So the need here was knowledge. Somebody out there? Are you following this? So what now happened to him in verse 52? Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. That means he increased in his insight. He gained knowledge. That's Jesus, our Lord. No wonder in Matthew 12, please go to Matthew 12. In talking to people, verse 3, he says, have you not read Matthew 12, 3? What David did. Again, he repeats it in verse 5. Or have you not read? Now, the word read here is not the same thing where you just glance something like a newspaper and you read, so-and-so stole 46 billion. You won't even read. Oh my God, this destroyed this nation. This nation is finished. No, the word here is anaginosko. Anaginosko implies that you will capture every detail. Because the people he was talking to, they knew the Holy Scripture. They had read it. They could quote it. He's saying, are you not paying attention to certain things your mind must have skipped concerning David? In Matthew 19, when they came to him as well and asked him about marriage, the same thing he said in verse 4, have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female? So I say to read. You have to learn to read. In John 10:35, he said, is it not written in 34? Is it not written in your law? 34 and 35. That you are sons. You are God, sons of the Most High. And careless people have said that what he was saying, that you are, we're gods. Did he call believers gods? He was talking to those who were contradicting, saying, you. And were you not told that you are God, sons of the Most High? The word sons was used in the Old Testament for angels. Somebody say, are you God? The word is Elohim in the Greek, which is used for judges and magistrates. So by the utterance of Psalm 82 verse 6, I've done this explanation to you over time. It was referring to a man not born again. Not the born again man. Again, when you hear that, you go back to where he quoted from and read his statement within context. Does it make sense? You go back there and read what he said. So the first thing we said is you must read Ephesians 3. So I said to read. That is why you must bring your Bible to church. You must read Ephesians 3 verse 4. Nobody is going to put anything on the projector for you. Not in this world or in that which is to come. Ephesians 3 verse 4. Except the persecution. And when you see Bible with you on the street, they will arrest you. They will be putting it on the screen. Until that day happens, please come to judge your Bible. Paul in verse 3 says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Can we take verse 4 together? Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of. When you what? The same word anaginosko. You read to understand. You read to understand. You read to understand. Notice what he says. When you read, Not when you glance at it. Because the reading there involves your mind. When you put your mind in what I wrote, you may understand. Just like Philip asked that man, the Enoch in Acts 8:30, understand thou what you read. There must be a reading first. Where you look at it. Your mind and your attention is in what you are reading. Look at the word understanding. It is the word noheo. N-O-E-O. It means to consider something. Do you know how you consider something? If somebody says to you, for example, and says, well, I bought, then you gave somebody $100,000. Then he brings back the receipt to you. And you look at the receipt, and you say, he bought this $40,000, he bought that $50,000. What are you doing? You are considering what you were given. I said, this is just $95,000. Majid! Then he explains. What you have done is no heal. You put your mind to what you were given. Let's say, okay, that's the receipt. Okay, that's the receipt. Okay, you put it somewhere. The guy just says that, it seems like your guy is a dunce. So every time he just give you that kind of receipt. And that's the way error perpetrates in the churches. You must lead to consider. Look at it. Paul quotes a verse. Look at it. Look at the verse before it. Look at the verse after it. Look at it closely. Did he skip the tenses? Did he jump some verbs? Look at it. You know, if you jump a verb in a sentence, it can change the entire meaning. You look at it. I mean, someone quoted the verse and said, deliverance! Deliverance! Even Jesus came! And he said it in the church. He said, I came that I might do deliverance. I said, come back now. Chief, for preach. Anytime you use that word, keruzo, which is to preach, the response is faith to receive. If you preach, the people who you preach to, they are to receive and believe. But look at how he twisted it. From preach to do. But you don't have a Bible. So, to preach, to do that. Jesus was a deliverance minister. No wonder. No wonder. Someone said that everybody whose ancestors worshipped idols need deliverance. They go and use that joker elsewhere. Yeah? You are saying it in Africa. Where else were our ancestors worship idols? Whose ancestors did not worship in East Africa? Maybe those that came from America. As an apostle, which Jew can tell you the ancestors did not worship idols? Including Jesus of Nazareth? All the apostles should go and do deliverance for all of them. Nonsense. You read and you understand. That's why Paul will pray. Look at the Ephesians prayer. Ephesians 1:17. The eyes of your understanding, verse 17 to 18, being enlightened. Someone say enlightened. Now the word enlightened is the word Photizo, P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. It means that it's the same way you talk about someone being well educated. He has light. The same word is in, apart from Ephesians 1:18, you find Ephesians 3:9. 2 Timothy 1:10. Ephesians 3:9, 2 Timothy 1:10. Hebrews 6:4. And Hebrews 10:32. So look at the prayer. The prayer is so that your eyes of understanding being enlightened, flooded with light. The word heart there Understanding there is the word heart, actually. The word cardia, that involves, K-A-R-D-I-A, that involves your emotions and your reasoning faculty. So that you may know. So, your knowledge of God's word or the faith is related to what you understand. And what you understand is how much attention you are giving to details. How much attention? How much attention do you give to reading and listening? To reading and listening. You must learn to read. And reading is not glancing at scriptures. People have asked me, how are you to quote Bible? I said, I don't cram them. It's just because I read them often. Read. Just read it. Read it very well. I mean, it's of course where in the wilderness, and Satan should say to them, for it is written, thou shalt keep angels charge over thee. I say, where is that? I'm telling you. Is that not 2 Corinthians? No. It's the book of Thomas. I say, you don't even know where it is. You must learn to read. Have you observed that your Bible is not that big? It's just that we treat it with levity. We have read far bigger books. We have studied far bigger materials. In fact, the way some of us read romance novels before we had the Damascus experience, the way some people read Mills and Booth till they read the whole catalog, James Abney Chase. That's all I know. I don't know the rest of it. I've never read any of them before anyway. But you read and read. The people read and put something in the middle and sleep and wake up and eat at night. Say, oh, fiction, no? And they live happily ever after. You put your mind at that, then you take your Bible and you begin reading memory verse. How can you ever make progress as a Christian? Memory verse. Verse! And the only verse is Jesus' word. You know, some people cannot even, that John 3:16. Some people never read it, they just heard it. Ah, it's in John 3:16 now. What does the Lord want? He gives, you shall not perish. Yeah. Because you never read it. Do you know that the people that teach against salvation being eternal, they know that verse very well. But they are not reading to understand. Don't say, is it not possible that a man can still really lose his salvation? He can do something. Then, you know, he said, if you eat, I'm the bread of life, a man takes of me, he will never perish. And you can vomit that one too. And then you take the well, that's not the last thing, just to, you spit that one. Read. When you read, you will understand. Just read. Don't they read? So the first thing we said, you must read. 2 Timothy 3:14. And you have been fully persuaded. So there's a full persuasion that comes when we continue to learn. 2 Timothy 3:14. When we continue to learn, that have been assured of, full persuasion is the word there, pistio in the Greek, fully persuaded. That is, you stay with the same truth. You stay with the same truth. Learning. Being educated. Don't forget, number one, you learn to read. I'll go to listening shortly. And you also learn to listen. You see that? Both reading and listening, they both involve your mind. You can be in this service and you are hearing what I'm saying, but you are not listening. You must learn to listen. Because when that doesn't happen, what happened to Galatia will happen to you. Because one of the things Paul said to them in Galatians 3:1, said, "Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" He said, "Before whose eyes?" He now put their attention. He said, "Before whose eyes was Jesus Christ evidently set forth and crucified among you?" Which is, did you not see it in the written word that Jesus was crucified for you? See, why are you so soon removed? Galatians 1:6. From the grace of him who has called you unto another gospel. For there be some that come, say, and they trouble you. So did that word, Tarazo. They unsettle you. Why was that? Why did they unsettle them? Because they were not continuing. You cannot start on the written word and be following vision. You are looking for trouble. I tell people oftentimes that the only thing that makes Christianity unique from any other religion in the world is not miracle. It's not vision. It's not crowd. It is the written word. The written word is Christianity. So your relationship with the written word is your relationship with Christianity. That's why you must take your Bible seriously, both in the reading and the listening to it. Are we in the church? So it says to continue. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things you have learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Now pay attention. So in that continuing, you have a role to play. It's an active participation. You must learn to read and learn to listen. Look at Acts 17. Your mind is needed. Say, my mind is needed. Your mind is needed. Your mind must be there. You can't learn when your attention is divided. Even divided to service. Remember in Luke 10, Jesus was in the house of Martha. And as the custom was, of course, Martha went to prepare food for Jesus. And her sister Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus. Now the issue was not that she was playing. Don't get it wrong. The moment Jesus began to talk, you drop the cooking pot. The moment he began to talk, forget the cooking pot. If you are nausea, sit down. If you are in the technical, begin to listen. If you are in the security, find a way to hear. The moment he began to talk, Mary sat down and listened. And Jesus said, "Look, Martha, you are troubled about many things." You know, she wasn't troubled about money. She was not troubled about husband. She was troubled about Jesus. Your sister Mary has chosen the needful thing, and it shall never be taken away from her. They listened. She was listening. It can't be. What he has done can never be taken away from him. This is the most important thing. To listen. I'm very sure that the kitchen was not far from where Jesus was speaking. So it's very likely that Martha was also saying, "Oh, glory. Glory." You know? So I say, "Oh, glory." You just hear one statement. And then they say, what's wrong with your throat? That was the needful thing. To listen. Acts 17. Are you learning something? I read verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with what? Readiness of mind. That's not the end. Coming to the service is readiness of mind. That is, you just readied your mind. You have not started using it. It's the word prothumia. P-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A. Which is a willingness to hear. P-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A. It means you are eager. 2 Corinthians 8:11, same word. 2 Corinthians 8:12 and 19. I'll take it again. 2 Corinthians 8:11, 12 and 19. And 2 Corinthians 9:2. But that is not the end. You are willing. Okay, let me go. Let me buy the book. Let me buy the CD. Let me buy the Bible. Let me open it. That is prothumia. Willing. But then that was not it. That's just the journey. Willingness to hear. That's just the journey. Has begun. Then the next thing. After they heard, they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I'll go back to that. Do you know at this point they were not born again? They were not born again. So don't call them Berean Christians yet. But why did they commend their attitude? Because getting born again involves using your mind, believing the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. Verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world, pay attention, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. The word to blind the mind is an old Greek word to phob, T-U-P-H-U-O, or T-U-P-H-L-O, one of them. It means to blow smoke. You know, the way you go somewhere, and then maybe you are driving, and the exhaust of a car before you, and you can't see. So it blew smoke. So what the God of this world does is that it blows a smoke over the gospel. He misrepresents it. And the reason is to blind, is so that they will not believe. They say, no, forget it. The Christianity is just one historical fable. You know, you hear those kind of things on the internet and all that. You hear, what about this? You hear things about some men of God, you know, things like that. To blind the mind, he blows a smoke. In other words, your reasoning is now affected. That's the unbeliever now. Not to believe. So, of that, it means that the mind of the non-believing is needed to believe the gospel. I showed you on Thursday that the way the disciples got born again was where? When they got saved. Jesus opened the scriptures to them. The moment they understood, they believed. Luke 24, verse 45. They believed. So your understanding is not different from your believing the gospel. That's why Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, we have not handled the word of God deceitfully, in craftiness. The minute we do that, what happens? The mind of the non-believing is blinded. You cannot have light in darkness. That is why it's important for us to preach the gospel as it is. Someone told me, if I just tell people Jesus died for their sins, he rose from the dead, would it not sound somehow? I said, that is the message. That is the only message that says, but would they not look at the one who convinces with it is called the Spirit of Truth. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you. 1 Corinthians 2:2, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The moment you had something to eat, you cannot ascertain that the person is saved. That's why people who preach all sorts of things, you want to change your career, God can take you to the next level. That's not the gospel. Many of those folks are not born again. Let them speak in tongues like running water. They are not born again. The faith of Jesus Christ is definite. The gospel is not any story that you make up about Jesus. No! It is the story of his death, his burial, His ascension to the right hand of the Father. That is the story. It's not something you make up. Say Jesus, you know, Jesus is a great guy. You know, Jesus, he loved everybody. You know, he was kind to everybody. He hugged them. Said, I want to follow you. That is not salvation. That's an NGO. Only that news can say the power of God is in that message. Romans 1:16. The power of God is not in my presentation. The power of God is in the facts. Let me show you if you're following what I'm saying here. Are you following this? It's not in your presentation. So, if you like, I'm telling you something. Jesus Christ. That's not the message. The message is the facts. That's where the salvation. Hold ye fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Luke 24, 25, and 27. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So the only thing that will bring faith is Christ suffering these things and entering into his glory. If those people were with him for 3.5 years, they heard all the sermons, they had a good time, but that was not salvation. How much more you presenting it differently? Am I making any sense here? So, 2 Corinthians 10, quickly. The mind of the non-believer is needed. That is the non-believer. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. I want us to read it together. Are you there? Let's go. Let's go. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. Let's say verse 4 together. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Before you start going around the four corners of your village, I pull down a stronghold. I throw some corner now. Read the next verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what are the strongholds? They are in the minds of men. So the weapons of our warfare is referring to is the preaching of the gospel. Not pouring oil around your house. That's not what it means. The preaching of the gospel. So as we preach the gospel, we'll come against arguments against the knowledge of God. In chapter 11, it says the same thing in verse 3. If you have been called for salvation series, you'll have seen this one. It says that the serpent will beguile, as beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is found where? In Christ. So the mind is important. How a man thinks. Go back again to Acts 17, verse 11. What did he say they did? They searched the scriptures. Let me explain searching the scriptures. It's not just that I quoted a verse, you check it is there. No. That's just opening the scriptures. The word here is anakrino. A-N-A-K-R-I-N-O. It means they investigated it. They put scripture with scripture. They examined it carefully. It's not good enough for you to find a sermon has Bible verses. That's not sufficient. You must investigate it that it was used properly. That will be your role. If the unbelieving man at Berea could do it, how much more you and I? It was after they did that in verse 12 that it says that many of them now believed. So you must learn God's word that way. You must learn to look at scriptures well. Make sure your attention is not divided. These guys did this for many days. Of course, that tells us something, that Paul did not preach without the scriptures. And he must have preached with so many scriptures. Can you see that? Can you see that? Because they did not start the scripture to see one thing. Just say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know? Jesus took the bottle. The bottle is your life.
Jesus entered into Peter's ship.
You want him to enter the boat of your life? And all the storms you are facing in Nigeria's recession, you will see. How many of you want him to enter the boat of your life? And you see greedy, covetous human beings coming out for altar call. That's why they will slaughter you there. How is that the gospel?
How?
Entering the boat of your life. Peter, he said, Peter, as Jesus entered his boat, he cast his net to one side, and then he caught a great calf. Brethren, you want to cast a great calf? And you say you are saved. You are not saved. I'm not talking to you. You have not checked the scripture whether those things are so. That's why some people, you think they are born again, they've been around for years, and they'll just be struggling with the written word. No! Don't let us be reading the Bible like that. It may be they were never saved. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God refers to the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 24. The wisdom and the power of God. So those are very vital things. You must check it. Is that how it is in the scriptures? 1 Timothy 4:6. Are you learning something? 1 Timothy 4:6. Paul talking to a pastor. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. The word remember here, to put the brethren in remembrance of these things, is to draw a pattern. To draw a pattern. It actually means to show the brethren for all to see. 1 Timothy 4:6. So a pastor has a responsibility to his congregation to show them clearly what is written and what is done for all to see. Nothing must be done in mystery. When some people want to manipulate people, they say the mystery of prosperity, the mystery of covenant wealth is just to manipulate. If anybody calls mystery, just tell them, Matthew 13:11, unto me it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:27, the mystery has been made known. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Ephesians 3:3, Paul has written the mystery in a few words. When you read, you will understand. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:51, he has shown us the mystery. Can I give you more? Romans 15:25, there is no mystery. The mystery is the Old Testament. The epistles is the revelation. That's the mother of error. You look at it. Say there's no mystery in the written word for me. Say there's no mystery in the written word for me. I'm born of the Spirit of God. I apply my mind to listen and to read. Somebody hear me say something I will never forget. He said that when you don't take your Bible to church, you are a candidate for error. It's easy to deceive you. You check it. When your pastor knows you always check, he will be careful. Who just say, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 18 verse 14. There is no chapter in the epistles that reaches the Peter. Tell that nonsense! Are you doubting my apostolic calling? I am, sir. I have no doubt it. That he didn't know that 1 Corinthians does not pass this thing. Ah, sir, go and receive Christ. That's it. You know, Paul did not feel offended that he told him, let's go and check first. He didn't feel offended. He said, you dare to check? What? Do you know I met him on Road Damascus? Do you know the kind of light that shine on me? Do you know? Don't let me curse you. A man of God said, I will donate you to hell. And as he was saying it, his members were clapping. Hey, 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 hey. See all of them. as though they are all in Kadesh-Barnea.
Look at this. 1 Timothy 4:15. He now says to Timothy. Let's take it together. Verse 15. Are you there? Are you there? Let's go. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly unto them. The word meditate is the word melita. M-E-L-E-T-A. It means to use your mind. Use your mind on these things. Apply your mind. It's the same word in Acts 4:25. For imagination. That is, as you read scriptures, you see it in your mind. It's an active participation in the written word. Meditate upon these things. Meditate. Put your mind there. What it says, give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear. The word profiting means your progress. You meditate. Otherwise, what would you have? The word profiting also refers to making progress. It's like to make an advancement. So your advancement as a believer is how much of your mind you apply to what you are taught and what you read. The number of years is not what counts. In fact, the more years you spend and your mind is not involved in the learning of the Word of God, your experiences will be dangerous. Because you are not making progress. You are making progress in the number of years you get as a Christian, but your mind has not been affected. The way you think. Do you think in the Word? Do you think with the Word? Are your thoughts filled with the Word? I'm not saying filled with scriptures that you need to battle your enemy. No. Some people know how to, you kind of Psalm. Some people know Psalm. Psalm 35. Psalm this one. That's what we're talking about. Your mind will pay attention as a duty. When I listen to teaching, apart from just reading scriptures, I can teach the teacher. Not that I'm teaching, that's what I mean. I can repeat to the person who said it. All over again. That's why people say, well, you said it in this material. I said that within what context? Because I've learned to listen well. I say it oftentimes that a good teacher is a good listener, a good student. The minute you miss it in learning, you miss it in knowledge. And of course, teaching. You must learn to apply your mind so that you will make progress. The word progress is in Philippians 1, 12 and 25 to make an advancement. Otherwise, what will be in your mind? Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing. The moment there is anxiety in your study of the word, you cannot understand it. Your mind is in your business, your husband, your wife, your family, your this one. In fact, sometimes your mind is on the church member. The scriptures require devotion. Whether you are reading it or you are listening to it being preached, you must give it your undivided attention. When there's anxiety, you cannot have an understanding of scripture. Your mind is very critical. Say, my mind is critical. It's needed in my study of the faith. Mark 4:24. Let's run now. So that's why some people will be in a good local church where they have been taught the word, but it won't have any effect on them because it's either they come late for the service or they come to the service and they don't have a Bible. You know, some of those attitudes affect how you receive. You are not even showing a readiness to hear. Talk less of getting there and even hearing it well. Why would you come late for a service? If you knew that everything that will be taught, you need to hear it, you will come late. Why would you come late? And you walk into a service while they are already teaching. I don't know any other church, but in this ministry, if you come, even if you go to the restroom, be rest assured, you have missed certain things. How many know that? If you are listening to any of our teachings, and you go somewhere and tell someone, you will have to rewind and come back. Because it requires paying attention. Look at this. Mark 4:24. I hope you are here. So in learning the faith, don't forget, you have to act like a student. Mark 4:24. Let's take it together. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you what you shall hear shall more be given. It says to take heed. The word there is blepo. B-L-E-P-O. It means watch out. Actually, when you use blepo in the originals, it means to see with your mind. So, as, you know, paying attention is almost like looking at something. As you are being taught, as you are studying scripture, your mind is there. Take heed. He said the kind of attention you give to what you hear is the progress you will get. The kind of attention that you give. The reason why many believers are not growing is because the attention is divided. For example, if your idea of the local church is where we have variety, it's like a shopping mall. You don't have many things. Your attention is divided. The reason why you must be in a local church, one of the primary reasons, is so that you will learn God's word. It's a primary reason. It's not, okay, I also like the place. No. It's the primary reason. So you must watch out. To what extent do they value the teaching of the word and how people learn? It's not good enough to say, well, they talk about Christ, the finished work of Christ. You know, today there's a fad. Oh, grace is grace. You have done it all. I've done it all. After he says that, he now connects your seed. You have done it all, but then to connect what to heavenly frequency. To the right, to the left, stay in the middle. I don't know what you're talking about. You now bring your seat. You know, for you to come out at all, that means you were not paying attention. I was in a service, someone was saying this. Said, we may be in a recession, but let me tell you something. No child of Abraham had any economic recession. And people got up like this. They're not taking heed. Just take your Bible. The Abraham is saying is in the Bible. Just open it. Abraham himself had recession. His children had recession. His children's children had recession. His children's 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 children had recession. When Jesus came, they had recession. When he left, they had recession. When Paul came, they had recession. When Paul left, they had recession. So which Abraham was he quoting? You know what I said? Jacob never had a problem. Said the reason why Jacob called, he went to Egypt, was because he wanted a different species of corn. People were getting up, they were throwing their hands. I told Babylon, I said, is this the body of Christ? I said, see you, because the mess will die. it's just for you to take heed what you hear. As he said, what verse, sir? What you just said, sir? Don't check it, it's there. No, sir, what verse? What are you doing? You are learning. How many of you went to school and you listened to your lecturer's ideas? Just came to class and just came. I was just there. And then you say, tell them in your class. Tell them. As he was just talking, he just ran to him and took money. Professor. You paid attention. You went back home. And you checked what he said. So that you can pass. Take heed what you hear. That you hear. You must listen. How do you take heed? You take heed with your heart. With your attention. You learn the faith attentively. You don't learn the faith unconsciously. You learn the faith attentively. You devote your time to it. I think it was Brother Higgins that said that your respect for the written word is your respect for the living word. Your respect for the written word is your respect for the living word. So let's put ourselves in Martha's shoes and Mary. The written word represents the living word today, right? So imagine you are reading your Bible. It's supposed to be a time for devotion. As you are studying your Bible, somebody just calls you, bro, oh my God. Oh, who's a mata? Oh, kule. Why are you troubled about many things? We now have the advantage today of technology. You can put the word of God on CDs, on different platforms, and many of us still get distracted. Your mind is the tool to learn the thing. The Holy Spirit does not walk beyond what your mind has paid attention to. Never forget that. Let's go further. In Joshua 1:8, Joshua spoke about the law. Of course, you and I don't do the law. He said, this book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart out of your mouth. But it says, you shall meditate. Now, when he uses the word meditate, is the Hebrew word agah. H-A-G-A-H. You shall meditate. Day and night. Look at that, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from where? Your mouth. You shall meditate day and night. That's why I use agah. Agah means like to roar something from your mind. When your thoughts are now converted to what you call musing. Like when you are worrying over something. You know, when you are alone and you are worrying over something, you know, you just say, so I'll have to travel tomorrow. So, you know, it's not as though you are talking to anybody. You are only trying to see through making a decision. That means I'll have to go on time. That means I have to take the first flight because my meeting is for 2. You know, you are talking like that. That is agah. It's the same thing Paul was calling melitao. Your mouth is involved. It's almost like the opposite of worry. Like you are worrying the word. As you are hearing the word, whether in a service or you are alone, your mind must be, as you are hearing the word, whether in the service, or alone, or you are studying, your mind must be involved. You are musing over everything you are reading. Like you are worrying, you just pace up and down your room and say, wow, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. So the law is in Christ. Has set us free. That is past tense. From the law. You know what you're doing is you're simply just putting your mind to every detail. As you say. Same thing in a church service. Your mind is active. There. So the word agah will mean you observe by thinking and speaking. You muse with your mind. You see the same word in Job 27 verse 4. Psalm 1 verse 2. Psalm 2 verse 1, I'll take it again, Job 27 verse 4, Psalm 1 verse 2, Psalm 2 verse 1, Psalm 35 verse 28, Psalm 37 verse 30, Psalm 38 verse 12, and Psalm 36 verse 6. Psalm 35 verse 28, 37 verse 30, 38 verse 12, Psalm 63 verse 6. So your mouth is involved, you begin to muse. Then it says day and night. So, it means that learning the faith and meditation is not something you do at a part of your day. It is all through your day. Your meditation on God's word is what affects your decision making during the day. As you're thinking through the word in the day, apart from you understanding God's word, it affects how you think. So, you are actively participating in the faith by using your mind. Otherwise, what will be found in your mind could be anxiety, fear. So it will be your responsibility to fill your thoughts with the word. Let me just give you practical things. Number one. These are just practical things. Take the study of the word of God seriously. Take the study of the word seriously. When you study, and that's what I do, you can see sometimes I come to church with pieces of paper. As I meditate on God's word through the day, I can just have some things. Just come to my attention. Sometimes when I have a piece of paper, I tell people who are close to me, I say, remind me of these statements. When we get home. You're wondering from where to where. Remind me of these statements. My mind is active. So you must take study seriously. You must also take your Bible seriously and have notes. Have notes where you put things down so that you can look at it again. Also, get into service where the word of God is taught. Get in on time. So you won't miss out any detail. The same thing goes with if you are playing a CD. This is not you're just reading the Bible now. Or you are even playing Bible on tape. Sit down there. You can't know what is being said unconsciously. You will have to listen. You will listen step by step. If you miss something that has been said, stop the pause or stop it. Rewind. Hear it again. That is the way you can understand. Am I making any sense here? When you are in church, no side talks. Ask all my friends. Anywhere I go. When I go and I sit down, it is almost, at the point of it, I almost look like I was rude. When some preachers just say, Pastor Shukai, and I'll look at them. They won't talk to me in the service. And I'm like, let me concentrate. Sometimes even if the person is talking nonsense, at least I learn what it is not. So I listen very well. No, I'm not joking. I listen. Because you need to learn to listen. Do you know, many of Jesus' commentaries were answers to seemingly mischievous questions. But you know that if you didn't listen well to them, you won't get the answers we have today. Listen well. Listen. In 2013, I can remember there was a book and a series done by a man in America against the charismatic church. I say that in often. I took time, and I think 2-3 weeks, to consistently. I read the book. I listened to the man. It was a comments of 7 days or so, over 13 sessions. I listened to everything 5 times each. When I was done, then we now did what you have to do as a charismatic ministry. The same thing as a faith message. I will listen well. I will know what was said. I will misquote you. So that I can understand what you are saying. Learn to pay attention. Take church like school. Don't talk to somebody by the side. Don't use your phone. Don't send a text message. It's going to eventually affect your understanding. Also, learn to ask questions. Learn to ask questions from your pastor. Sir, this verse, and so and so. Many times here, I'll tell you, go and listen to this so and so place. Go and do it. Do you have any question again? Ask. You are learning. Don't forget, take church like school. Always go back and check. Nothing should be said by anybody and you will take it hook, line, and sinker if it's a man's good. Never go back there. Whatever statement he made to your pastor or anybody, just go back there. Check it all over again. If Jesus could take the pain and patience to explain his own experiences from Genesis to Malachi, it took 40 days to tell them he was alive. How much more you and I? And Jesus did not use visions and revelation. He used the written word.
We have work to do. We have work to do. We must study to learn of the Father. We must give ourselves to study. We must keep studying. And as we do it, just like Paul prayed for Philemon and all the churches, we must also pray. Amen. But you cannot pray. If you pray and you have not studied anything, your prayer means nothing. There can only be light and revelation when you have read. When you have listened. Pray, Lord, I want to know you more. You are wasting your time. He has given you how to know him. Hallelujah. You pick this and give yourself to it. Make friends that study this book. Are you there? Make friends that study it. Friends that value it. Be in a church like this, where it is the most important document they refer to. And they don't refer to it by the side. It is what they teach day in, day out. Then spiritual growth will be seen. Give yourself to it. Many times, David will write the letter and say, Selah, stop. That's the word Selah. Stop. Which is to pause. That is said oftentimes so that you will see what he said before now. Let's learn to give our attention to this heavenly and eternal truth. Much more than our professional degrees. Much more than the things we read. Do you study the Bible more than magazines? Do you listen to gospel more than you watch films and watch television? Whatever you give your attention to is what has your devotion. If it's God's word, you will know it and make progress. Hallelujah. Were you blessed with that? Talk to your neighbor and share for a few minutes, you know, what you learned speaking.